All right, are you ready for the word? So let's open in prayer over this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the word does not return void, but it accomplishes what you intended it for. Lord, your word is alive, it's living, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit and joints and marrow. Lord, the word is the thing that remains. Lord, right now, we thank you for it. Lord, we pray a blessing upon it. Lord, bless what I say, let it go out unhindered and unchecked by any outside influence. We ask this in the wonderful name of God. Amen. So if you're serious about choosing to believe or choosing to walk a faith walk, you have to stop speaking about the problems and the issues. So if you can continue to rehearse the problems and the issues, and I know it's very hard because when you're suffering with some sickness or some issue or some financial problem, it dominates your thinking. And so the easiest thing it is to rehearse that and find someone that you can tell about it. And most family members are really have a lot of sympathy for you, and they want to support you in that, and they want to dig deeper, and they want to find out what's happening and where you're going, what are you up to. And I know that with Susan, I've been standing on some things physically for her, and every couple of days we get a phone call from the family. You know, how are you feeling today? What's happening? So they want to get you back into the senses and into the things that we can feel and we can sense. But it's going to be an enemy of what you're standing for in faith. And faith is releasing, or faith is actually released by words. And I want you to listen to this statement concerning faith. So this is a statement I want you to look at. And it was actually a statement that I got from Charles Capps, and it's a great statement. It says, "The word of God conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth is creative power." I'll read that again. "The word of God conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth is creative power." So when you meditate that, when you sort of listen to that and get it in your thinking, you're going to understand, that's how I'm going to create something in the realm of faith. Now, faith is never going to happen by quiet contemplation, by sitting there and just saying nothing and just meditating it. Now, because meditation is actually not quiet. We have this mindset in the day and age we live that meditation is actually going in a quiet room and just thinking about something. Meditation in the scripture is actually muttering and speaking something out. So that's where it comes from. So this will work for you in the positive and negative. Because if you meditate on sickness, thinking about that you're never going to get healed, you're never going to get free of this, because this is what happens when you are in a situation where the sickness has got a hold in your body somewhere, it's very easy to think, well, it's only downhill from here. There's no upside on this. There's no hope in the natural. You know, I've been to this doctor and that doctor and they've got no answer. And so it's easy to fall into that situation where the enemy's in your ear saying, well, there's no hope. Nobody cares. Certainly the church you're going to doesn't care. That's where it gets you thinking. All those Christians you know, they don't really care. And in fact, some people said, I wonder if God cares. And he does. But that's what the enemy will get you thinking. So you can meditate on the negative. You can meditate on the sickness and the thing that is, and it's going to stay there. Because what you're doing, you're working the word about that sickness. You're forming words in your heart, and you're declaring them. See, once you declare them, then they'll come to pass. See, voice activation. And I've taught this message, faith is voice activated. It's when you use your own words to activate things. And it's not something new. How many of you have used voice activation? Anyone use voice activation? Yes, younger generation certainly does. I like voice activation. You know, I'm one of those techo guys that likes those things. And so It was in April of 2011 that that Apple launched Siri. So it's not many people knew about it, but I was one of those early adopters. So it was great. So it was the first digital assistant, and we were all wowed by the technology and you know, where you can say something and the technology will respond. And I thought this was great because anything to speed up my typing. I'm not too bad at typing, I'm pretty fast, but I've got a lot to say, I've got a lot to write down. And so voice activation was great for me. In that early area, I could speak and it would interpret and type out what I wanted. Not always accurate, but I could go back and edit those things. That was the early voice activation. And so it has gone on from here where I can say, "Hey Siri, what's the weather forecast today?" So she's trying to respond to me now.
It's currently cloudy and 23 degrees in Cameron Park. Temperatures are heading down from 23 degrees to 21 tonight.
Okay, there you go. So she responded to me. And I could say, "Hey Siri, turn the volume up." And she would do that as well. I could say, "Hey Siri, can you send a text to Paul Voligoff?" And saying, "Can you meet me tomorrow at 10 a.m.? And it will do that. But we can get so amazed by technology, especially when it makes things easier in our life. And so for me, when I'm driving the car, I can tell Siri to do something, which is good, so I'm totally hands-free. Which otherwise I would have to pull off the road, get it out, type it in. But now, you know, with Apple CarPlay and all those latest technologies, we really are hands-free. And so our voice can activate things in the natural. And this is only the beginning of what voice activation will be able to do. But we get so amazed at these things, and it tends to take away from what God used voice activation for. See, God was the first one to use voice activation. And from the dawn of creation, God chose voice activation as a way to create things. And He Himself uses it today. It's the way He's chosen voice activation to do things. At the dawn of creation, the Godhead stood at the edge of the universe and there was darkness over the face of the deep. And so God, the Word, said, "Light be." The technology went into what we call the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the deep, responded to that voice activation, and light was. That is the method that God's chosen to use voice to activate faith in your life. So we have to get into the modern era of using our voice. You're never going to get anything without declaring something. If you want something, you've got to speak it out. Oh, it doesn't matter how many Bible studies you do. It doesn't matter how many tapes you listen to or how many programs on TV or great Christian ministry. Unless you get to a place where you're going to declare something, it's never going to happen. And you say, "Well, surely God understands that. Doesn't He listen to the quiet prayers?" No, He wants you to declare something. There's not once that Jesus quietly prayed by Himself. He declared things every time He spoke it out. And we're going to discover a bit more of that today. This is the method that God's chosen. I want to show you the scripture in Romans 4 regarding God's method of voice activation. So Romans 4, 17, and this was talking about Abraham. As is written, "I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed God." Now, he believed God. And this is what God does. "Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." This is the method that God chooses. He gives life to the dead and He calls those things that do not exist as though it does. He calls. So what is calling? Calling is simply speaking it out. If you've got a dog at home, you call the dog. You know, "Here dog, here Fido," or whatever it is, and responding to your voice, the dog will come. That's what happens. That's a command. So we have to call for something that we want. It's no good calling for the dog if the dog's already there. You know, if you're calling for the dog and he's there, what's the point? Everyone's going to think you've lost your mind. But we do that day in and day out We call in the sickness. You know, oh, I feel terrible today. My back's aching. This is, and so we're calling in the thing that is, rather than calling in health, calling in healing, calling in prosperity, a thing that doesn't exist, using the method that God chooses, which is voice activation. Calling things that do not exist as though they did. And you might say, well, that's lying. No, it's using what God's done, what God put in place. And we'll take that a bit further. So God actually calls things that do not exist. That's what he chose. Now, Romans 9 and verse 11. And 9 and verse 11, it's another great scripture. And there's a key to the scripture I want to get to you. And it says, for the children not being yet born, or not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purposes of God according to the election might stand. Now, this is another message just in itself, this passage. But this is the one I want you to hear. Not of works, but of him who calls. So God chooses not to work, but he chooses to speak. That's how he works. He works by calling, by speaking, not by works. So God calls things or activates things with his voice. Likewise, faithful miracles has to be voice activated. If you're waiting for a miracle, it's never going to happen until you start speaking it and declaring it. And Jesus was known right throughout Judea as the healer. But the only thing that Jesus had at his disposal was words. He was anointed, but he did everything with words. With words. And in this passage here in John, I've got it for you, John chapter 5 and verse 19, and it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. And whatever he does, the Son does also, or does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So Jesus himself declared, I can do nothing without hearing what the Father speaks to me. I can't do anything. He was totally dependent on the Father. And as confirmed in Acts 10 verse 38, we're not going to turn there today, but that's another passage I really love. It says that Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. I've got great news for you. The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same anointing. See, when Jesus left this earth, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you somebody who's going to help you. And that's the Holy Spirit. The same one that raised him from the dead now dwells in you. So what we need to do is we need to go inside ourselves, become inside-minded to release the mysteries and to learn what the kingdom of God's all about. And this other passage here in John 12. I'm going to lay some scripture on you today. John 12 and verse 49. And it says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. I want you to listen to that. The one who sent me gave him a command. And what I should say and what I should speak. So the Father gave Jesus the right command. Now, if I just speak out any command, Siri's not going to understand. Because I'm not using the rules. I'm not using the right format. And so Siri won't understand what I'm saying. But if I follow the rules, if I follow the voice activation formats, then it's going to respond and I'll get some results. It's the same with faith. We've got to follow the rules. Well, how do I find the rules, Michael? They're all in the Word of God. It's your rule book. It's your manual how to release your faith. And Jesus said here, he gave me the commands that I should speak. He didn't say anything without the Father speaking to him first. That's why his ministry was so effective, because he listened, he saw, and he did. Jesus actually was a man of few words. You go through the scriptures and you have a look at the Gospels and see how much Jesus actually said. Because he said, I'm only going to do what I hear the Father doing. I can't do anything by myself, so I'm totally relying upon the Father. So there's really specific commands that we have to understand, and we've got to follow these. And in John 8 and verse 28, it says there, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So the role of a father is to teach children, a good father. A good father will teach his children. And I enjoyed teaching my kids. It was great to bring them outside and to teach them what to do with a car, or what to do with a motorbike, what to do in the yard. It was a great experience, and they learned so much from their dad as a natural father. But that's the role of our Heavenly Father, is to teach us what to say, teach us what to do, teach us how to understand the kingdom rules. But if our Heavenly Father is in heaven, how can He teach us? Well, Jesus gives us some insight on this, because, and how this happens, and He said, it's the Father in me, He does the work. Now, how could the Father be in Him? Have you ever thought about that? How could the Father be in Jesus? I mean, the Father is Almighty God. He sits on a throne in the heavenly places. There's cherubim and seraphim flying around the throne all the time, worshiping. There's lightnings coming from the throne. How could that Father be in Him? Well, it's laid out quite easily in the scripture. And he says it's the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit's work is to reveal what's in the heart of the Father. His job is to do that. And what the great thing is now, the Holy Spirit's abiding in you. So you just go inside and say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Holy Spirit, how should I respond to this sickness? Holy Spirit, what should I do about this debt I've got, or this issue I've got? Holy Spirit, what should I do? Show me your ways. Show me what I need to do. And you just wait and wait for the Holy Spirit to respond. You might have to cut out some noise. You might have to go aside to quiet down, because you can't do it watching TV. You can't do that speaking to other people. You've got to take some time out. Holy Spirit, what is it? You know all things. You search the heart of God for me and find out what I need to do, what I need to say, what I have to declare about my situation. And the Holy Spirit will always come about. He'll always reveal it. I don't know how many times I've heard Susan say, I can't find this. I've lost this thing. And then she'll go and she'll ask the Holy Spirit, where is it? And she comes, I found it. Now, it was lost, but the Holy Spirit knows. And that's what we need to get into, that place of communicating, asking the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. But most Christians don't use Him. And He's been given to us as a helper. The reason is, you need a helper. You need to be spiritually minded. And in John 14, verse 10, great passage, it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So He said the Father dwells in Him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So the works were the manifestation of what the Father was doing. Jesus said, I'm just the one to speak them out. You got to realize that on earth, man has the authority. God is not going to come down and start performing miracles. He won't do it. He said, I've given authority to man. It's up to you. Not only that, you've got the same spirit that Jesus had. So many Christians say, if only God would come down to fix this. No, God's saying, I've given you my word. I've given you the commands. Start activating those faith commands. Start releasing. Start changing your situation with your words. Start declaring health, healing, prosperity, whatever it is, start declaring it day in, day out over your situation. If you don't, the enemy's going to declare some things over your situation. He's going to start declaring that you're never going to win, you're going to lose. It's a Father in me. He does the works. Was that John 14:10? Yes, it was. I think I had some more there. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever I ask, you ask in my name, I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you hear that? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here's your title deed right there about what you want. You can go to him and say, Jesus, you said this. Ask anything in my name and you will do it. Start declaring it. What do you desire? Those are things you should be saying. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Or you get a lot of Christians will say, well, that does not literally mean that. It doesn't mean if you ask anything, he will do it. Well, unfortunately, I'm a literal sort of guy. I take the word as it is. He said that very plainly, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, if you've ever looked at the book of Joel, Joel was a prophet, and he declares many things about the day and age that we live in right now. And it's a very militant book, actually. It's very militant. And it's saying that this is the time to fight. It's time to take back what the enemy's stolen. So if you think that you can take anything without force, think again. That's why if you take the Old Testament, you have a look at what happened in the Old Testament, it's a type of what's happening in the New. When the children of Israel wanted to take the promised land, it was promised to Abraham 400 years before they went into their land to take it. And when they went, there were giants there. It was inhabited. The enemy had stationed at every road into the land of Canaan, he'd stationed giants there to block and to hinder the way in. Now, 400 years ago, when Abraham walked around that land, and every place he put his feet said, I'm going to give that to you. He walked around the whole land of Canaan and declared that would belong to his descendants. But 400 years in time, there was giants there. The enemy had stationed giant men of great renown, great strength, to be a hindrance, to stop them entering in to their promises. No different today. Now, they could have said, well, hang on, wasn't this a promise from you, God? Didn't you promise us healing? Didn't you promise us prosperity? Why just can't we get it? They had to go and fight. They had to go and do something. They had to make declarations. They had to go and take it by force. And so anything you want in the supernatural realm has to be taken by force. So the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So there's nothing in the kingdom that will not be taken without some force. And that means force with your voice. And so many people say, but you don't understand, it's so hard. No. You've got to understand that it's easy. A child can do it. But fear stops you. Fear of what people think will stop you. This is what Joel says in Joel 3 and verse 10. He says, beat your plowshares into swords. That means whatever you're using to work with, beat it into swords. Why? You've got to fight. Your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. You know, that word weak means lacking the power to perform physical demanding tasks, having little physical strength or energy. And this is typical of people who are sick. Most people are sick are weak and they can't do what they need to do or want to do. So it says in Joel 3, let the weak say, I'm strong. But how is that right? Isn't that a lie? Shouldn't the weak say they're weak? If you're weak, shouldn't you go and say, well, look, I'm very sick, I'm weak, I can't do this? The word tells us, let the weak say they're strong. And this is what we have to do. We've got to start calling or activating with your voice the thing that you want. If you keep activating and saying, I'm weak, I'm sick, you're going to stay weak and sick. The sick should say, I'm healed. The poor should say, I'm rich. You declare what is not there. What's in your bank balance now is not really what is. It's no limitation to God. We've got to look at everything we're doing in the natural and say, I need to change it with my voice. You have to change what you're saying. And when somebody asks you, well, what's wrong with you? Rather than declaring, well, look, I've been to the doctor and the doctor said that I've got some cancer in this area and this is what's happening to me, or I've got this limitation. No, start changing, start becoming militant and say, well, I'm fighting cancer. I'm fighting this right now and I'm fighting with my confession, I'm fighting with my word. Declare what you're doing. Start beating those plowshares into swords. Start changing what you've got in your hand and start declaring some things and start getting really active with this. And some of those, remember that I actually made some paper swords for the church here maybe a year ago and put scriptures over so that you can start declaring and becoming violent with what you want. So it's time to get back into your daily confession of God's word and start using your sword and start declaring, Heavenly Father, according to 1 Peter 2:24, which I think I've got there, who himself bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. See, there's some of the weapons that you need to start using. Start declaring, using God's word to come against what the enemy's done. And say, I claim your healing, and I say in the name of Jesus, I command this cancer or the situation to be gone right now, according to your word. If you go to God with your problem, then you've canceled your faith straight away. You say, oh, hang on, Michael, what did you say then? If you go to God with your problem, you cancel your faith straight away. Now, surely you don't mean that. Surely I can go to God and say, Lord, I'm so sick. You know, this is a problem in my life. Don't you understand the issues I've got? The scripture says he knows everything about us. You don't need to rehearse the problem to God. Go to the Lord with what he's declared. Go to him with his promises. Start declaring his promises over your situation. Go to him with a scripture about your prosperity, about your healing. Don't go with a problem. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He can only respond to words of faith. He can only respond to his word. See, he has committed himself to his word. And that's what Matthew 6 and verse 7 says. It says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. What's vain repetition? Oh, Lord, I've been talking about this all week. I've got this issue in my life. And every time you come to him, you're rehearsing all these things. And he says, I just don't want to hear that. There's no faith in that. See, you can't please God without faith. And it goes on to say, for they think they will be heard with their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. He knows before you ask him. So don't waste your time with those things. Go to him with the word. Now let's look at what the Holy Spirit is doing for us right now. And in Romans 8:26, it says, 27 says this, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So remember, your helper is the one that intercedes for you. He makes intercession for you. Now, I love this account that Kenneth Copeland spoke about, and I've heard him talk about it a few times, but he gives this account that he was facing a difficult time in his ministry. He had a lot of things that he wanted to do that the Lord was showing him to do, but there was a problem. He didn't have the means for it. He didn't have the finances for it. So he laid all these things out on a table, and he was going through them and sort of asking the Lord, I need your help on this. And he said, all of a sudden, he was an open vision. And that table he was in front of grew to a long table. And in the room came the Father. And the Father took a seat at the front, at the head of the table. He was down the tail of that table, the bottom of it, and the Father took a seat up there. Next, Jesus came and sat at his right hand. Through the same door came the Holy Spirit. And he was up with the Father and the Son, but then he walked down and he pulled up a chair right next to Kenneth. And he said, give those to me. We're going to get everything on that list today. See, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He comes and he makes intercession for you. He knows what you need. So when you come to the Lord with your declaration or your petition based on his word, the Holy Spirit gets involved and says, give them to me. I'm going to get all those things that you want. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's your closest friend. He's the one that knows you. So don't go to him and say, oh, I'm sick, so sick. No, go, Lord, based on your word, I am the healed. Based on your promises, I'm prospering. Based on your word, start activating those things that don't exist in your life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you speak out these confessions every day, we begin to shake off sicknesses. We begin to shake off diseases. We begin to shake off the yokes that the enemy's put upon us. Because really, when you think about sickness and disease, is a yoke that binds you. It gets on you and it limits you. It's a yoke. And so we have to shake those things off. And if you remember the account that the Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked and then they landed on the island of Malta. And he was gathering sticks to put on the fire, and then a poisonous viper latched it onto his hand. And as he picked up some of the sticks, and Paul just shook off the viper, shook it off into the fire. Now all the inhabitants of that island who were around there thought that this man must have done something terrible. He must have been a murderer. He escaped the sea, but he's going to die now because he's been bitten by this poisonous snake. But he just shook it off. The poison didn't affect him. And that's the same way when you start working and using your confessions, it doesn't matter what it is, every yoke will be broken. Every sickness and disease will be broken because you declare it. Just shake it off. Start shaking off. No, I'm not going to give in to this is what your word says. We have to believe what the Bible says, not what you feel. See, if you're going to wait until you detect that every symptom has gone and that everything is fine before you're going to start believing God, then you're out of order with the word of God. You're out of alignment with his word. And you'll never get very far in faith. Because faith is a substance. And I've spoken a few messages on this. The title deed. The evidence of things desired. And you heard me correct. Things desired. What are you desiring? Are you desiring to be well? Are you desiring to be in a great balanced relationship, in a good job, whatever it is you're desiring? It's not wrong to desire. I want you to start desiring some big things. I've got a great list of things that I'm desiring. I've written them down. Things that you're hoping for. And it's good to hope, because without faith it's hard to please God. Is that what the scripture says? Actually, no. It says in this scripture here, Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's exactly right, Jules. But it's impossible. You realize what impossible means? There's no chance of pleasing God without faith. If you're not declaring something, then you're not releasing faith. So I would say that there's not many people who are pleasing to God because they're not using the faith, the deposit of faith that you were given. Here we've been all given a deposit of faith. We've all been given the God kind of faith to use, but most people don't use it. Most Christians will live a life without using faith. And I'm trying to get you your hope right up there, your faith right up, so you start declaring some things. Start using it. Without faith, it's impossible. So you have to come to and diligently seek God. Know that He wants to reward you, and He wants to give you whatever things you ask when you pray. And you might say, are you sure, Michael? Whatever things you ask for? Well, let's look what the Scripture tells us in Mark 11. In Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you might get them. No, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. Believe that you receive, and you'll have them. Now, let's go back quickly to Hebrews 11, 1. And it says there, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. I want you to see that. See, faith is a substance, the title deed of things you're hoping for, the evidence of what you can't see manifested yet. So if you can't see your healing, what's your evidence? What is your evidence? What is your title deed? You need to be based on the Word of God. If you take the Word of God as your evidence, and you can go to God and say, this is the evidence I have that this belongs to me. You can go to God with that. I don't have it naturally. It's not manifest yet. But what I do, I've got the evidence, the title deed of your Word, and that's going to remind you about that. You have to go to it. And I'll make this statement. When faith is released, it will conceive God's Word. When faith is released, it will conceive God's Word. For something to be manifest in the natural, it has to first be conceived in the Spirit. It has to be conceived in your spirit. Your spirit has to conceive it. Sometimes you don't. What you don't say will help you speak or will help you use voice activation, because when you choose not to say some things, quieten down, go back and get God's Word, get His commands, and start using His commands. Don't let the first thing come out of your mouth. Go to the Word. It says, what does the Word say about this debt? What does the Word say about this pain? What has the Word told me about that? And then use the commands that will release things in your life. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, and faith increases by hearing, also the inverse is correct, that faith decreases by not hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith decreases by not hearing. So if you're not declaring, if you're not meditating the Word, faith is not built. It's decreasing. And that's why a lot of people backslide, because they're not confessing. They're not diligent with the Word of God. And so faith is not working for them. See, everything in the kingdom of God is obtained by faith. Your salvation, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, your healing, your prosperity, everything is obtained by that. You cannot rely on last year's faith, the faith that you got saved with. See, faith is active. It's a force. It has to be activated and empowered with the confession of God's Word. Some people say, I believe in divine healing because I've seen so-and-so get healed. I heard about that. I saw it on TV. But that's not Bible faith. You know, I believe in healing because the Word tells me that He's the healer. That's where our faith has to be bound, based on. I want to read this scripture here as we get down to closing. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5, it says, surely He's borne our griefs. Now that means sicknesses. That word grief is actually means sicknesses. Surely He's borne our sicknesses. He's carried away our sorrows, which is pains. So if you're sick or you're in pain, we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, or the blows that cut Him, we are healed. It's all been paid for. Been paid for in full. And in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, He Himself bore our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, I think I've said this before, who himself bore our sins in his own body in a tree, that we, having been died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes or wounds you were healed. You were healed. That's past tense. It's been paid for. See, my faith is not based on what I can see. And it's not even what I can hear. It's got to be based on what God says. When you can see, when you can develop your faith to a place where you believe only what the Word of God says, regardless of circumstances, regardless of the physical situation or symptoms, then you're believing right and that bring results. We have to stop considering the symptoms, even though that's so hard in the natural, because they're the things that scream at you day in, day out. They're the things that are in your face because you see those symptoms, but don't consider it. That's what Abraham did. He didn't consider the deadness of his own body. He was 99 years of age. He got to a place where his faith was so built up, he chose not to consider that. He chose not to consider how old his wife was. She was 90. He just considered the Word of God. And it was accredited to him as righteousness because he chose to believe God's Word rather than what the natural was saying. In the natural, there was no way that they would reproduce. It was to a place, it was impossible. Thank the Lord we've got a God of the impossible. And that's what Psalm 107 says, the last scripture here. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. That's what the word does. It goes out, he sent it out, if you take it. And see, when the scripture, when the word of God comes to you and you take it and you return it to him, that's when it accomplishes. See, the God sent his word out, but it's only when you take the word and you declare it and send it back. That's when it accomplishes. You have to take his word and declare it out. Why don't we stand up together?